Everybody, let's give the Lord a praise one more time. Hallelujah. Amen. It really is good to be up on Sunday morning. Amen. Being able to praise God and give him some glory for all that he has done for us. Certainly it is a blessing. You know, one of my favorite sayings, I saw it on HGTV. I'm one of these HGTV fans, and I sit home and marathon myself to death with HGTV. Don't own a house, but I'm going to build something. Praise God. And so, you know, so I watch it. So one of these days I was watching it, and they had did this lady's house, and they put on the wall, today is a good day to be a good day. Amen. And so it's really about our choices and our actions and the things that we desire and where we put our focus and our attention that makes life worth living. Praise God. And so a couple things I want to do before I get started, and certainly I'm thankful. Thank you. I call him KB. Praise God. But I thank you all and thank KB for having me down here and spending this time with you all. It is a pleasure and an honor to be here. I'm so excited. I don't know what in the world to do. I woke up this morning just ready to go. Praise God. We were supposed to be down here last night and stay down here last night, but I coach basketball. And so we were having a basketball tournament that we were part of over in King George County. And I ended up having to take some of the kids back home. And when I got back up Northern Virginia, I just didn't feel like driving back down this way. I'm a little tired, but I thank God for that. And so certainly I have my friends and my family with me. They traveled out this morning to come hang out with us. But this is what's so interesting about being down here at the Wilderness. My father's from Spotsylvania County. And growing up, I never really got a chance to spend any time down here whatsoever, because by the time I became of age, my father had passed on, and he left me a little piece of land. It's down here off of 621. It's 7 acres of land, and I still have not walked across that land yet. It's in my sister's and my name, and so my mom's from Spotsylvania County. But when I was driving up on the property of the Wilderness, it reminded me of the time that I used to spend down Thornburg, Virginia, at Indian Acres. And so, I mean, it just brought back so much life. Then I saw the lake. I'm telling y'all, I just wanted to run and jump in it. Praise God. I did. I said, wow, I don't know what's out there, but it'd have been me and it and everything else in there swimming. Praise God. And so with that, if y'all don't mind, if you'll give me a second, I asked my wife, does she feel like singing a song? And she said she looked at me because I always do this to her. I say, feel like singing a song? And she says, what? And then she said, I got it. So let's see what she's bringing to the table this morning. Come on up here, sweetie. Amen. Hallelujah. She is my blessing. Amen. She really is. She's had two bouts with cancer. I'll let her tell you all about that. And then we'll share a little word with you all and we'll get out the way. But it is a great thing to be here this morning.
Well, the Bible says, be ye so ever ready. Amen. Well, I'm glad to be here. This is a wonderful, wonderful day to be alive in the land of the living. And you all are some beautiful people. You are some blessed people because we're still here. And being that I am blessed with my Boaz, I always say that, my best friend, the one I like to do everything with, I'm not going to be before you long, but I battle two cancers, so I always tell people that I don't have any bad days. I don't get mad at people for a long time because it's foolishness and it doesn't matter. Because I always remind people the only mission is winning souls for Christ. And if we're still here, that's our mission. That's our assignment. But as he stated, I've had two battles of cancer. The first one was pancreatic cancer. And I know that I am so blessed and highly favored. I know. Because every time they hear that one, they're like, how long you have to live? Or did they get it all? Or did you this? Did you that? Because they said, you don't know. And I'm like, to be 40 years old when I had it, I had no symptoms, no pain, no nothing. And I keep telling people, I don't know what the pain felt like because I never experienced it. God did not allow me to experience it. So done with all that good stuff. And thank God my husband and I are best of friends because I couldn't do anything for myself. Nothing for myself. So kudos to you, Boaz. So then this past October, done the, you know, the regular mammogram yearly thing. Then I had breast cancer. But I already knew, because when they call you and say, come back, I'm like, God, just prepare me. That's all. Then you get in a fight and you say, what's next? What's next? Because you want to move on. I want to move on. And then that chapter is closed after doing 33 pounds of radiation, going to the hospital, ministering to people, telling them it's going to be okay. But it's your foundation in God. If it's shaky, so is your faith. If you don't have that one-on-one relationship with God, you don't know how to overcome. because God allows us to go through any and everything. It rains on the just and the unjust. We all know. We see the news. I just say, hallelujah, praise God. Praise God in everything, because God says, count it all joy. Amen? Amen? So with that being said, I'm going to try to do just a little song. Let me ask you all. You all want something upbeat, or you all want me to sing slow? Becky said both. Oh, my goodness. I like her, because she said both. And you said both, too? Oh, wow. Amen. Amen. I like you. I like you. I like your boldness. Dad, what do you want? I know, but you like for me. Let me see, because I want them to be involved. Okay, you going to help me? Okay. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. I couldn't keep it to myself. I couldn't keep it to myself. I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. What the Lord has done for me. Say my soul, you ought to been there. On the road, then I started walking, then I started talking, then I started shouting, what the Lord has done for me. What the Lord has done for me.
Amen.
Okay. Did y'all like that? Okay. We're one, baby. We're one. Okay, okay. Amen. We're one. All right. I'm just going to do a little bit of Vicky Yohe because of who you are. Amen. You all want to join in? Do. Because I'm not one of them people that said, don't need to be singing my song. We all here to praise God because all glory goes to God. Amen. Okay. Here we go. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Lord, I worship you. It's because of who you are, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nissi. Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shiloh, my Prince of Peace. Lord, I worship you. It's because of who you are. Now give him some praise. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Because of who he is, we give him glory. Amen. Y'all mind if I move away from the podium? Good, because I like to walk around. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, which you all do, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a subject that I've been on all week long. And the reason I say all week long is because I have Bible study Monday through Friday at 4:30 a.m. each day. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I have a 30-minute Bible study online. I mean, not online, on a conference call Monday through Friday at 4:30 a.m. as people are getting ready for work. They click in their phones from all over, and we sit on the line, and I just go through for a week long what the Lord has laid on my heart and helping people get themselves ready to start for work each morning. And so we've been on this 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it's about having a firm foundation in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And so my wife said it, that if our foundation is shaky, then our relationship with God is shaky. And so we've been talking about this all week long about having a firm foundation in Christ Jesus. And so if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, say word. Amen. Praise God. Yes, ma'am. KB?
Yes, sir.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. I'm going to read 9 through 23, and then we're going to pick up from there. I'm going to spend a few minutes with you this morning about a firm foundation in Christ Jesus, and then we're going to move from there. Praise God. And it reads, "For we are God's fellow workers. You're God's field. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which has been given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God." Amen. Let the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I want to talk about this for a few minutes. And the only reason I say this is because one of the things I've been sharing with the Bible study line all week long is truly about the foundation. And some of you all in here, I'm sure, are builders, or at least you have some handyman skills or handywoman skills about you that you're able to build houses and all those other things. And we know that anytime that a house that is not built on a right foundation, you know, ultimately that house is going to what? Come down, praise God. And if it's not coming, and if the foundation is not correct, or if it's not sealed properly, because you have to seal your foundation with some type of pitch or tar or something so the water don't leak in, we know that that foundation eventually will start taking in water, and then you come downstairs and find your house or your building just being destroyed. But that's what happens with Christians all the time, because a lot of times the foundation in which we build on Jesus Christ is not always built correctly. Sometimes we think it is, and in our best efforts, we think that the house is being built right, but ultimately it's not built the way that God wants it to be built. But thank God for what? Grace and mercy, because he gives us a chance to get life right each and every day. As I put on my Facebook page this morning, it's a great day to be a great day. Why? Because God has given us an opportunity to see another day. And so everything that was wrong on yesterday, guess what? That day is gone. We have today. And because our eyes are open and we are here in church, or we have this opportunity to breathe some fresh air, we have an opportunity to look over here at this great lake over here, or just enjoy the simplicity of life, we know that God still loves us. His mercy is towards us. And he's given us the opportunity to get this day right despite of what happened yesterday. Can't worry about tomorrow, because it's not here yet. It's not promised to each and every one of us. But what we do have is we have what? Today. And so what I want to talk about real quickly, as we talk about this firm foundation, there was an argument going on. This is why Paul was writing what he was writing. There was an argument and a division in the church. The church was divided. The very thing that was meant for their growth, their development, for their strength, and their ability to enjoy life to the fullest was the very thing that was dividing them. They were caught up in an argument over who was the greatest teacher or who was the greatest preacher between Paul and Apollos. That's what their argument was about. They were caught up over that. And so Paul had to come in and tell them, and we didn't get to that part in the first eight scriptures, but Paul had to come in and tell them, who is Cephas? Who is Apollos? Who am I? We're nothing but God's fellow workers. You're God's building. You're God's field. And he says we need to be careful about how we build on God's building and how we plant in God's field. Amen. Because simply we have a responsibility to ensure that that building is being built correctly, and we have a responsibility to ensure that that field is being planted correctly. Amen. And so here it is. Now, I got to tell you all, I'm one of these new pastors. I tell people I'm radical for Christ Jesus because I need you to talk to me as I talk to you. Amen. I know you all a lot. Listen, we can go to a funeral if y'all want to this morning. We sit there and mourn, or we can sit here and have a good time in the Lord and give him some praise. Amen. We're here. We have a lot of life. I'm loud. If I get too loud for you all, just tell me, hey, bring it down, young man, a little bit, and I'll bring it down just a little bit. Praise God. But this is just who I am. And so I love life. I thank God for it. But here Paul was trying to bring to their understanding that the problem exists in that we're caught up in the wrong things of life. They were arguing over who was the greatest, another man over versus another man, who laid the foundation in their lives. And I find that in the church today, that so many churches are closed off to so many different people. Why? Because we have the greatest pastor here, or we have the greatest pastor there. But it's not about the pastors. It's about you, God's people. Why am I here as a pastor? It's my responsibility to make sure that I bring you the unadulterated, the uncompromised word of God, so that you grow up correctly in Christ Jesus, so that you can enjoy the blessings of the Lord each and every day, and that your worries are not about life. Your worries about making sure that you're giving God what God rightfully do. God worries about our problems. We should worry about giving God what God rightfully do. Amen. And so here it is. He's talking to them and he says, we're God's fellow workers. And he says, we have to be careful about how we build on God's field and how we build in God's building. And he says in verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you, there are three types of churches that exist in the earth today. Three types of churches. And I'm going to tell y'all something brand new because I know y'all have never heard this before, because there is something new underneath the sun, correct? No. Amen. I just want to reaffirm in you all some of the things that you already know. There's nothing new underneath this sun. And so with that being the case, all is vanity. But here it is. There's three types of church that I want to talk to you all about, because you are the church. I don't want to talk to you about three types of buildings. I want to talk about three types of church, because you all are the church. There is a vertical church. And why is there a vertical church? Because you're the building of God. And you're being built correctly because your focus is on who? God. And so we have to make sure that the building, when you look at a builder or the person who's doing the work after the foundation is laid, you know they have to always make sure that after that cornerstone is in place. Now, I'm acting like I know what I'm talking about, but I'm not a builder. Y'all just watch too much HDTV. But, you know, they have to make sure that building is not leaning. Praise God. It has to be an upright building. Doesn't matter what the hills or the earth looks like. Doesn't matter if there's some dips in here and there. They have to go down to make sure that that land is laid flat. They have to make sure that that foundation, well, the foundation in which is being laid on is level. And then they have to level and make sure that building is going upwards, right? Because nobody won't be sitting in a house laying in a house like this all day long. You know, you just eventually feel like you're just off balance. You get tired. Eventually you start walking around outside like this all the days of your life. They're like, what is wrong with that person? Because you've been in a lopsided building all your life. But there's a vertical building. There is a diagonal building. And then there's a horizontal building. And I want to talk about these three very briefly, because we have a responsibility as the church to ensure that what is being told to us is being told to us correctly, so that we make sure that our building is vertical. Because again, whoever it is that we're listening to, it's by choice that we listen to the people that we listen to. Amen? And we want to make sure we're not getting caught up on them. We just want to make sure they're bringing the right preached word of God so that you and I can constantly be the vertical building that, as Kevin was singing about or talking about earlier in Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16, that we are the light of the world. Don't let the devil blow your light out. Amen. For we're the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men see your good works and they begin to glorify who? Your Father. They shouldn't see your good works and then glorify who? You. They should glorify who? Your Father. So that as they begin to ask you, what is it that makes you you and what makes you so great as a man or a woman, you can point them to who? God. That's the vertical church. And we want to make sure that we are the people who are telling them about the God in which we celebrate and serve each and every what? Day. And so we have to be sure that we're listening to the right people. So as they're sowing into our lives or they're building into our lives, they're building correctly that God is glorified. But there is a diagonal church as well. And what's so interesting about the diagonal church is that sometimes what's being said sounds good. And it almost lines up correctly with the word of God. But if we don't spend time, if you and I don't spend time reading the word of God each and every day, sometimes the things that sound good may appear to be good and we may accept it to be as what? Good. But ultimately, it's not building correctly in our lives. And so the church begins to go to a diagonal. It's not quite towards God. It's not quite horizontal. It's kind of at a diagonal, but it's a leaning church and it's an incorrect building, praise God, because eventually, once you build far enough out, when it's leaning at a diagonal with no support system, it's going to eventually do what? Come down. Why? Because there's nothing there to support it, and it's being built at an angle that it can't support itself. And that's what happens to us. God wants you and I to be able to stand on our own. Not stand because grandma told us to stand, not stand because mama told us to stand, not stand because somebody else told us to stand, but stand because we have the right relationship with God. And so therefore, we don't want the building in which we celebrate God in or the building in which we want God to occupy, because he says we are the temple of the living God. We don't want that thing to be leaning incorrectly, because God is not going to live in an incorrect building. Amen. One thing I know about the Lord, Jesus says that he was a carpenter. And so guess what? If your life is dilapidated, as a house is dilapidated, when Christ gets in, he'll fix that thing right on up. And so I like about a fixing up God, praise God, because when I'm down, I need some what? Fixing up. Don't you need fixing up? There's just some days things ain't gonna always be the way we think they should be, but God knows how to come in and make things right for us so that where we were down, we're now standing what? Up. Hallelujah. And so there's a diagonal church that we don't want to be a part of. But the even church that's worse than the diagonal church is the church that's being built horizontally. And what do I mean by a horizontal church? The focus is not on God, but on everything else. Listen, my wife said it best. She says, I don't have time to complain. God has delivered me her from pancreatic cancer. She had that in 2008. Here we are in 2015, and she's cancer free. Praise God. And then she was diagnosed in 2014 with breast cancer. And she's gone through her treatment, and now she's breast cancer free. And that's enough to celebrate. Nobody have time to be worried about everything else on this plane. Amen. There's enough to worry about it for itself. And so the churches today, they just get caught up in so many different crazy kind of things. I tell people today, I just don't want to hear it. Life has its problems by itself. I'm not ignoring life's problem, but what I'm simply saying, I just don't have time to focus in on the negatives of life. Life is short. I tell people all the time, now that I'm 48, 49 years, Gary turned 49 years old, it seems like life has its foot on the gas pedal. It seems like every time I turn around, it's my birthday. Praise God. I'm trying to slow him down. As a kid, I was looking for him all the time. Now I don't want to see him. Praise God. I don't see no birthday. No, not no more. Not that I don't want to see it. Don't get me wrong. I do want to see it, Lord. I'm not ready to go to hell. I love you, Lord. I do love the Lord, but I'm not ready to go off because God has given us this earth to enjoy. Did y'all know that? Amen. Did y'all know that God did not create us for the earth, but he created the earth for us so that we can enjoy it? But we just have a tendency of messing everything up. And so, you know, with the mess ups, we get caught up with the hiccups, the valleys, the hills, and everything else. And we just don't want to enjoy life. But God has given us this earth to enjoy. So, no, I'm not trying to rush out of it. I'm just trying to enjoy it. Just want to sit down and relax. And, well, I can't let my hair down, but, you know. Yeah, he took the hair, so I don't have to worry about letting that down anymore. But I just want to enjoy. You know, the Bible said that the Lord came walking in the cool of the day when he was talking to Adam. My gosh, I don't know what that looks like, but I do know what the cool of the day looked like. And I want to enjoy just it. The walking through the trees, looking over the lake, the sitting back. I don't have a golf cart, but I'm going to find me one somewhere, someday, sometime, soon or another. But I just want to enjoy life with the simplicity of it. I don't have to have all the stuff anymore. When I was growing up, everything was about stuff. It was about having the coolest cars and the coolest clothes and the prettiest woman on you. I do have the prettiest woman in the world, but the prettiest woman on your shoulder. Had to have a commercial break. This was sponsored by her, praise God. And so, but with that, I don't have to have all the jewelry and all that stuff. That's the horizontal church. When your life is built on material gain, I don't have to have that stuff. I just want to be able to get up in the morning time. I want to be able to smell the roses. I want to be able to look out my door. I want to be able to say, hey, neighbor, how you doing? I just want a simplicity. That's I enjoy. My wife and I, we enjoy just traveling and going places and doing things. So when KB said to me, hey, man, we're going to hit the road one day together. I said, man, my pleasure. Yep, I'm the senior pastor of my church, but guess what? It's not my church, it's God's church. Amen. And just as quick as he want to replace me, he can at that church. I'm not stuck to four walls, a ceiling, and a floor. If he say, hey, man, let's go take a trip, I'm going to take a trip. And if those people at the church get mad because I took a trip for Christ, then they're not focused on who? Christ. They're focused on who? Me. And it's the wrong what? Relationship. Because it's built on the horizontal plane and not on the what? Vertical plane. My job is to encourage and build in their lives. It's God's job to increase them. And it's their job to focus on who? God, not Todd. It's a big G versus a little T. And so that's what I'm trying to get them to. But as I'm getting ready to close, I just want to share something with you that's very important about this foundation. Because they were arguing over stupid stuff. How many of us in here argue over stupid stuff? Come on now, raise your hand. I don't want to feel like I'm in this fight by myself. Praise God. Just argue over stupid stuff. Can I tell y'all a quick little story? When we were at the basketball game yesterday, I'm the coach and the pastor and the police officer. All three require me to be a man of what? Integrity and good character. But I was not yesterday. God knows that referee got on my nerves some kind of bad. And I was holding my composure to the best of my ability. But one time he did something and I said a very bad word. I said, he sucks. I said, that referee sucks. And my wife said, that's a bad word. And I looked at her like this. I said, I can't have that word. No, you can't. So I had to repent and apologize because I allowed what he was doing to get to me. But God has given me power over the getting to me. God has given me power over everything that's in this earth. So no matter how wrong the referee was, I still should have been what? Right. Amen. Amen. Not right over him, but right in my relationship with him. Not in this right, but in this what? Right. So that even when I'm being wrong, I'm still being right because God is looking at me and not the situation. And so, you know, that's what I want to talk to you about mostly, that the foundation, that what we stand on, if it's not right for God, it's not right with God. And so, you know, I had to get my mind together because yesterday I was caught up over a y'all, I'm passionate about basketball. I can't argue because I have 32 miles to return home. And so therefore, I have to accept what she tells me. Praise God. But I'm telling you all right now, you know, we allow so many things that are so small, so minute, so insignificant to us to get to us each and every day. When we just have power and authority over all of this stuff, it's just stuff. It's here today and what? Gone tomorrow. It's like the grass and the lily of the fields. It come up quickly and go down quickly. But what do we have that remains forever? Christ, his word. We have that. And that's the thing that we're supposed to be living and standing on. And so this is where I close at. Apostle Paul said something very powerful that oftentimes enough in the reading of our word that we miss out on. And he says it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says in verse 21. Look at this simple thing that he says. Very simple. Y'all with me this morning? Am I doing okay this morning? All right. I want y'all to invite me back one day so I can come down here and put my toes in the water. Yep. He says it in verse 21. Therefore, let no one boast in who? Men. How many of y'all like football?
Love it.
Who likes basketball?
Love it.
Any tennis players in here? No? No, but don't you like tennis?
Oh, yes. No, I don't like tennis.
You don't like tennis?
No.
Any other sports in here I did not mention that anyone? You like baseball? Oh, yeah, America's pastime. I am so, please forgive me. The Nationals. Yes, the Nationals. Baseball. I am so sorry. Listen, she's going to beat me to death. She said, what about that baseball? Amen. Yes, I love baseball too. But don't we have our heroes on the baseball team?
Yes.
Don't we have our heroes on the basketball team? Our heroes on the football team? Our heroes on the basketball team? And we boast and brag so much about them. But guess what? They're no bigger and no better than us. They're the very same people. They just happen to be enjoying something that they're doing in life. But we give so much time and attention to them. We get caught up on who the Redskins are giving away and who they're bringing in. We're giving up so much away to who the Cowboys are giving. And, okay, hey, don't do that.
He's a Cowboys fan.
Philadelphia. I know we got Pennsylvania over here. I'll go to the Philly crowd over here. Green Bay, I'll go to the Chili State over here. Amen. But we put so much time and attention into them. But look at what Paul says here that God is trying to tell you and I in verse 21. Even though it was about the men they were fussing about who was teaching the word of God, but it's just about men and women, period. We put so much time and attention into them that we don't put enough time and attention to who we are and who God has created you and I to be. We're just as big and bad as they are. We may not have the money they have, but money is not everything. If it becomes your focus, the word of God says it takes wing and flies. And so here it is, verse 20, he says, therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. God has created everything for us to enjoy. It's just that man has polluted it. Man has put their hands in it and messed it up. Man has created this life to where life is bigger than we are. But it's not. God has come to give us life. Because he resides in us, he is life. And we are life. And because we have a great and mighty and awesome God in us, we are great and awesome and mighty people. Because God chose us and now we love him because he first loved us. You are great and mighty people. Just because you're not on TV doesn't make you any less than anybody else. You are great and mighty people. Your smiles are infectious. Your conversations are inspiring. The life that you overcome each and every day is bigger than any man that can dunk a basketball, any man who can run a football, anyone who can swing a bat, or anyone who can swing a club. We are heroes in the earth today. Why? Because we are overcoming the things that life has presented to us to take us down. And so that's something to celebrate. So why put our time and attention? There's nothing wrong with having favorite players. I have my favorite players, but they're not bigger than me because Christ dwells richly in me each and every day. And the work I do, if I change one person's life, you don't know who they are reaching and who they are changing as a result of their life. And so because they're changing thousands, I'm changing thousands, even though I changed one life. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a child of the living King. Hallelujah. And that's enough to celebrate this morning. Let's give the Lord some praise this morning. We want to make sure that we continue to build, sow, and do the things that are right in the Lord, that God gets all the glory, and that the church that we are is a vertical church, that as we stand tall, people can look at you and say, my God, what is it about you that makes you you? And you can say, his name is Jesus. Amen. Thank you for having me this morning. Thank you, KB. I'll turn this back over to you, man. It's been good.
Amen. Thank you, brother.